we're going to tie a couple of Nick's concepts together and go a little more practical. And we're going to start with antenna control, and we'll focus on the null component. And we have a couple of givens here. We know that antennas that can be tweaked must be tweaked. That seems to be a natural law. If there's an antenna out there, you know you're going to try to make it a little bit better. Antennas, though, are antisocial. They like to be left alone. DXers, another given, require some comfort, a.k.a. some sort of shack somewhere. So therefore, remote antenna control is good for the USA, and remote antenna control has been around since 1878, when they learned the hard way. So, today, quickly, two loop antenna control parameters. We're going to talk about adjusting from front to back. Again, that what Nick kept talking about was the termination for best directivity. And then if we don't run out of time, we'll talk about reversing antenna direction. It's pretty nice with these flag antennas to be able to throw a switch and completely flip not only the direction the antenna is looking at, but the null on the other side. How many folks here are not familiar with the words ESNEC? Oh, good. Good. That helps. I'm talking to you. Okay. These charts you keep seeing that everybody throws up and sometimes are referring to as ESNEC sometimes require a little bit of explanation. And I wanted to do that just briefly here without insulting anybody. So this is the one that we're looking at that Nick had put up. We know this is the forward direction, and this is the null side. So this is the signal, let's call it the active sensitivity of the antenna. Front to back, you've heard that come up this morning. That is measured as the signal here and the signal back here at the null, the difference between those. Okay, go around and you find this is zero. Go around on this one, minus 30. So we have a front to back on that antenna of 30 dB. That's a figure of merit. That's a very good figure, by the way. And so we labeled this front to back just to give you an idea. And so all these drawings that we keep showing you all look at that back of the null to the front of the antenna and take it in a ratio, and it's taken strictly off of this chart. So, null network balancing, what does that mean? On a flag, and we, you know, they're all fairly typical, the U, the DCAS, the super loop, the Conti loop, the best front to back, the best that picture is going to look is when these two nodes look alike. In an ideal world, if you could make this exactly match this, you would have the perfect antenna. It can't be done, but you can get somewhat close to it. In this case, and through what I'm going to talk about, this end, where the signals come from, is the RF takeoff node. This goes to the receiver, and this end is the balance, or null side. That's the back side of the antenna. So here's that chart again. I kind of stuck on loops today, and Nick spent a lot of time on loops. A lot of guys think that loops are just, for one thing, a lot easier to build, but often better directionality than beverages. It's probably because we're not all real good at setting up beverages, nor can we find a place where we can get a perfect ground at the far end for termination to get a good front-to-back ratio. The loops are easier to set up. They don't require good grounds, as you've been hearing, and far less geography. Null network balancing is best when the null adjustment does control the front back but doesn't do anything else to the antenna. And that's where the rub lies, because you can't really purely adjust the front back without also messing with some of the other parameters of the antenna. So far, from what a lot of us have been playing with for a long time, pure resistance seems to be the most effective balance. Pure resistance over here. It's a compromise between getting that best front to back that you want and not disturbing the antenna. some of the guys in IRCA had a wiki of sorts going in which we were trying to add capacitance and even inductance over here, trying to make this thing even better. And we really never could come up with something that did much better than just a pure resistance. However, a 900 ohm resistor, or 1,000 as you heard Nick mention, or 850 as you hear people talk about, you can't just put that on there and expect it to be as good as you can get for the whole band that you're looking at. So what if we put a potentiometer across the null, which is the obvious first step you'd try here? That's fine if you don't mind having to go out to the antenna and constantly retune it. Maybe you're satisfied once you get a deep null and you say that's good enough. You'll be surprised that this 900 rarely is found. If you were to adjust a potentiometer here and then measure it, it might be as low as 780 or as high as 1100. All depends on the geography of the antenna. This is a problem if you try to remote a resistor. In other words, instead of having the resistor right here, you put a pair of wires on here, a twisted pair of some sort, and you run it 300 feet and put this control in the shack, you're going to start to affect the antenna performance, because in effect, electrically, you are taking this end of the antenna and making it longer, and this end of the antenna and making it longer before it ever sees this null. So all of a sudden, the antenna starts getting weird. So then you go and you say, this is Bruce's idea, and it's working. What if you could put a motor-driven potentiometer on here, and you could go back and sit in the comfort of the shack? The cool thing about this is there's really no problem with putting this thing a long way away. So this was the first great mechanical solution, and what Bruce has done is he's bought a bunch of power drills, cheap power drills, taken the motor out of them, and they work really well. So he's got a control right there at the antenna where it should be, and yet he can run that thing from way away. Okay, what if the pot is an optoelectronic device at the antenna? This LED that's shining here is electrically isolated from the variable resistor, which means you're not extending out the antenna. You still have the resistor right there, and the extension can be at almost any distance. The popular name for this is the Vactrol at this point, thanks to Mark Conley and others. Vactrol resistance will vary depending on the amount of light from this LED, in this case, that shines on it, and that's controlled here. So this is a really classic way of remote null. However, there are a bunch of things that you look at in Vactrols that you have to be concerned about, and we're finding these, again, thanks to that wiki that went on for about 6 months among a bunch of us. This one may be not that important because you can get around it, but not a lot of granularity. You turn the pot a little bit and wham, you could really move the resistance. Okay, you can get around that by Ohm's law and changing the values of the control voltages. This one, not a major issue. We thought it was. We were watching this and we found that after you turn a Vactrol on for a little while, it doesn't seem to care. It seems to heat itself to a certain point and become, you know, pretty steady, regardless of what's going on outside. This one, we don't know anything about. At least I don't. I don't know if I haven't seen anybody write about this, but I can't believe that somewhere along the line, someone's going to take a lightning hit nearby and probably take out that solid-state device. This is more important. This is a concern. When you can find Vactrols, and the operative number for the one everybody uses is the VTL5C4, the prices have about doubled in the last 6 months, and a lot of the suppliers aren't offering them. Mark suggests this one. It's made by API. It's an NSL32, and then you get a couple more digits here depending on the resistance ranges that you want. But these are readily available, and they're about, as these are currently priced, these are about a third of that cost, and they look to be pretty bulletproof. Or you can roll your own Vactrol, quote-unquote. Colin has done a lot of work on and posted it on his website, dxr.ca. It's not a big deal if you're into any kind of mechanics. You're building a light source in a tube, and you're putting a variable photocell, a variable photoresistor in that tube. You seal it off against ambient light. This is what mine look like. You'll see them outside. This is nothing but a variable voltage source with a voltage regulator in here to keep it constant. And all that's in here is the back troll with a switch so that I can do a local nulling on the antenna if I want to. So any questions about what's going on with remote termination at this point? Lead-ins. There are some people in this room who will not change their minds because of what I'm going to say, but there's a lot of guys that like to use coax. This chart, I think, is probably wrong because RG8 should certainly have lower loss than RG58, probably down closer to a dB. Cat5e, which is a rising in popularity as a twisted pair alternative, about a dB, a little less than that loss difference in 300 feet. That's certainly acceptable. Is it balanced? Is the signal balanced against ground going in on that long run? No. It's coax. Yes. This is huge when it comes to maintaining the integrity of a signal. If it's unbalanced, it's susceptible to outside interference. Pair-to-pair isolation. Well, you can't. There is no pair-to-pair because the coax is a single pair of wires. Whereas in Cat5e, and this number gets much better as you go to Cat6 and even 7, 65 dB between pairs. That's awesome because that means you can do things like control two-wire beverages and have the equipment at one end, and you can reverse a beverage with the slick enough control system because you can send the RF in both directions, because the two pairs are isolated by that amount. Stray pickup, moderate, and of course minimal here. Anyway, that's why I use this stuff. My choice is balanced Cat 5. It's $40 a thousand feet. This is what we came up with a little while ago. We're going to have our variable Vactrol control here on one pair of the Cat 5. Another pair of the Cat 5 is bringing my RF in. That leaves me with two pairs that aren't in use right now, and immediately I'm thinking antenna reversal logic. I got two pairs of wire to both ends. Our antenna system is unidirectional, so what if you want to reverse it? Mark Connolly's done a lot of this antenna reversal work over the years. It generally requires some kind of copper lash up, which we solve with the Cat5, and it can be more complex when you're tuning or nulling. But it's really fun when you want to hear two different stations, when you want to change with a flip of a switch. All right, now every 4 seconds I flip the antenna reversal.
Degrees. Wednesday and Thursday should stay pretty dry and quiet these days. 82 on Wednesday.
Here's another one.
Number knows that at some point it's going to be wide open.
You're healthy. Radio. Addiction. Starts now.
Schedules. Right now he says that.
Here's another one.
There's Charles. Scoring on a 49-yard touchdown with fantastic speed. Charles,
you coming here? Oh, yeah. No, by the way. Another one.
70s in the east, upper 80s in the west. There is a chance of thunderstorms. Plaintiffs had a lawsuit.
A little bit better today.
So,
radio show. So wherever you are in the world, you can just hit that app on
this,
your phone.
Obviously, the ability to do that depends entirely on where you live. In Minnesota, there are some places where there, well, 600 is a good example. I've got a 600 out in the Dakotas and a 600 in Iowa, which is almost exactly front and back of my antenna. The first clue that I had that an antenna reverser was doable was the fact that I had that spare Cat 5, two pairs in the Cat 5. So I came up with one that looks very simple. It's just a bunch of relays all switching at the same time. What happens on the two ends, which are now identical but reversed, on this end, when the relays are off right now, so on this end, the west end, the Vactrol is switched to the antenna. The other end of the antenna is switched to the RF takeoff. So flip the switch, and the Vactrol goes over here, and this goes over here. And it's all controlled by the shack controller, which obviously also has to do some switching between the Vactrol power and the amp and radio. Very simple. This is what the switcher looks like, one of the two. This is a DCAS terminated on a major pine tree up in northern Minnesota, but there's the three pairs. Still have one pair left. Here's the reverser. 12 volts is fed into this. What goes out to the two Cat5s, one to the east, one to the, this is to the west, one to the east. There's a signal here that controls the Vactrol. This is my RF coming back, and this is the control for the relays. Tim Trump has gone a step further with his physical construction and done some delightful work. If you know Tim, you can commend him on it. Tell him you saw this at the show. Handouts, we have a few this year, but not too many. We generally like to react, and if you say you want something, we can furnish it to you online or get it to you. The DX Monitor, volume 53, number 35, has an exact wiring diagram of what you just saw. IRCA Online, of course. Mark Conley's address, most of you have. My address is here. And now I'm done, and it's time for CAS. This is now the new CAS logo. This is the center of a DCAS. This is going to become Neil's new logo. Now, some of you have heard recently that CAS is now espousing something called a broadside end fire, which is essentially four DCASs spread apart, two of them on each side, spread apart by about 400 feet. Again, the dimensions are because he's looking at the broadcast band. He's got a picture, one of those Esnek pictures, that almost looks like Nick's flashlight. And it's so sharp, we said, wouldn't it be cool if we could find a way to turn this thing physically, all four of these antennas, and rotate them along an axis? Well, Kaz, I've got news for you. We found it, thanks to Bill Whitaker. We found the device that will rotate your four DCAS antennas. All right, you're up.
We have to hook up my laptop.
Yeah, stuff, if you so give it to me, I'll hook it up for you.
Maybe you want to let... What other presentation is there while we...
What time is it?
Oh, we get my laptop over there.
The clock straight up.
We'll jump one here then, since Kaz ain't quite ready. And we'll go to Project Nebby.